Today's show is brought to you by FreshEtech.com. That's FreshEtech.com. They're an amazing company that specializes in high-quality tech and gadgets without obnoxious prices. Timmy,
I hate when I look at a price and I have sticker shock.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's crazy. You know, that's the thing. It's the internet. You have the internet at your fingertips. You can get the best deals in the world at any given moment.
If not, I'll just get it on the dark web.
Yeah, why would you?
Right.
You know, you don't need that. That's the thing. That's why you should be shopping on the internet in general, is because you can Google, you can compare everything else. You know what's happening out there. They already have incredible prices. They have to have incredible prices. But we've got an incredible deal on one of their best products, which is the Splash Tunes Pro. It's a Bluetooth waterproof speaker. You can put it in your shower. You can take it fucking boating.
Yeah.
Nick, I know you love boating.
Yeah, you can put it in your toilet and let it blast Ozzy right up your ass.
Yeah, you can.
That's what I call a man's bidet. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't fucking want water kissing my asshole. I want the sweet sounds of Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Made possible with whatever this thing is that we're selling.
It really is incredible, dude. Look, you can use it in the shower, anywhere you want to use it. You listen to music, answer phone calls. It's wireless. It's Bluetooth. It's six of services with a suction cup for an easy setup. Here's the deal. Use the promo code RAPSTP, RAPSTP. You get $16 off the Splash Tunes Pro. It also helps out the show. It's a great little gift. You know all those people for Christmas that you forgot to get a gift for? And
get
you feel
this.
Like an asshole? Guess what?
Guess what?
Now you got a gift for them. Say, hey, you know what? I forgot the gift at home. It's this incredible speaker.
Yeah, it's got a suction cup.
That you can put in your toilet.
I got a gift for you with a suction cup.
Yeah,
it's coming soon. It's coming in the mail.
When Tim Dillon gives you that message, you're going to be waiting with
Billis, thank you for not getting me another Amazon gift card. I don't really have a use for this either, but it's at least more thought than a gift card to what I don't even know what a website is. So
FreshEtech.com, FreshEtech.
The gift card cut my skin open.
Yeah.
.com, FreshEtech.com. The promo code is RAPSTP. $16 off the Splash Tunes Pro. Let them know we sent you. Thank you so much. Let's get into it.
You are now tuned in to the RAP. If you're a real motherfucker, that's the place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. Right. And Louis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattle think is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
Woo. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast.
Is that you pantomiming a tech deck?
You would have been a great DJ.
No, I was rubbing my clit. One of my ears is clogged.
Was there ever a period in your life when you thought about becoming a DJ?
No, because I had a friend in middle school who had like a DJ turntable and all this shit. This white kid named Jason Mannenkoff, Jewish kid, rich kid.
Okay.
And he brought us over. We were in the middle school. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I was like, turntables, let's rock and roll, baby. And I tried, and it was impossible.
Really?
Hold on. I don't think it's impossible.
Impossible. Nobody can do it.
I think you weren't good at it.
Nope.
There's a difference. Impossible would mean that, you know.
I tried.
There was
for,
no possible way for that thing
it, but then he got
to
on
be
a,
used the way it was designed to be used.
No, doggy.
But then he got on a stage and did comedy. He was like, this is easy. this is absolutely easy. Wait, I just talked for an hour? Okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, dude. If you've ever tried to catch the fucking, because you got to catch the snare.
There's a skill to it, yeah.
That's the way, so it goes on the, you got to catch that, and that's what makes a sound. So what you got to do is you got to go.
Yeah.
So that's, and it's really difficult to catch the snare, especially in any sort of way where you're doing spins and fucking, you know, giving two fingers to the crowd, trying to fuck chicks afterwards, you know. It's very difficult. I respect DJs. I got to say that. You know what? I never even realized it until this conversation how much I respect the DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Solid people, those DJs. So look, we had a great show planned today.
I mean, mostly they just do ketamine and rape people, I think.
That's not a bad thing. You're naming you're naming reasons why I like them.
I was about to say, what about that would he have a problem with?
Yeah. Okay, all right, give me more reasons why
I'm not saying they're not cool. I'm saying they're not good people.
Yeah. Prom kings.
Yeah.
Those guys, it's never a...
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. That line? Classic.
No, I don't, but...
The Rock.
Yeah.
Who directed that?
I want to say...
Is that Michael Bay? No.
Is it Michael? I wanted to say the other guy with the name, but I can't. It's fuck.
Bruckheimer?
Bruckheimer. I want to... Yeah, that was a producer, but I was thinking about him.
It's Michael Bay.
It's Michael Bay.
It's Michael Bay.
That's Shannon,
guys. You know what fucks people up is people... I always think Michael Bay did Con Air, but it was Simon West.
Yeah.
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 That does fuck people up. If you bring that up.
In my world.
Yeah.
In my world of autistic men that sit around going, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Do you know who directed that?
I'm so bad with
Reddit
like,
come to life. That movie, really destroys people.
Movie trivia, like remembering actors, remembering directors.
Remembering
producers.
Things. Your sense
Do you think
for
it's
anything,
7 to 8 months a day? Or is it?
No, that's not the issue.
You just,
I just don't have a great memory. Yeah. But without the 7 or 8 blunts per day, I'm going to be an angry person.
You're
going to
murder people.
It's a net positive. You're getting a better human being.
Yeah.
Me knowing movie trivia is not doing anything for the world.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I watch a shit ton of movies. I watch movies all the time, but I don't remember shit. I have like a pretty bad memory. And then like I have friends that are like movie buffs, and I don't think we've seen like a disparate amount of movies. Yeah. It's just they remember every fucking detail.
Yeah, they're losers. They have nothing else going on.
They're
in their
fucking
lives.
Losers.
Your brain. Let me explain you something.
Have
guys.
Happy lives and you know successful relationships.
Your brain is like a cup. Okay, It can only be filled with so much shit.
Here we go.
So
your brain is like a cup.
My cup.
Luis Gomez story.
My cup is full of fucking
that
awesome.
Sounds like something an autistic kid says in like a Lifetime movie of the week where he's like, your brain is like a cup. And everyone's like, okay, let him walk this out.
Yeah, but who's gonna? Yeah, if you're filling your cup with fucking movie knowledge and trivia, what the fuck? That stinks. True. You have nothing else going on in your life.
Absolutely.
No, usually what it is some people are more intelligent than other people, so they're able to remember all this movie
their
stuff.
Cups are bigger.
They have a bigger cup. They have like one of those fishbowl size cappuccino cups.
When you go down to New Orleans, you have like a fucking huge.
Some people have those little, you know, cups that you get water at at like a rehab facility. Yeah. They just want to give you the, you know, the. They're like really tiny.
Yeah.
They're like the dentist cup where you get the 6 ounce.
Yeah. No, it's always funny when you meet like people that are like exceptionally smart, you know, and you're like, well, you know, that's his thing. He knows a lot about that. My thing is I know about this. And then they also know more than you about that thing. And you're like, oh, I guess this is just a better person.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there is that too, but you can have different types of intelligence.
His thing's astrophysics. I know a ton about 90s cartoons. That's where I put a lot of my
I can tell you every serial number of every Pinky in the Brain episode. So I'm basically Neil deGrasse Tyson if you weren't a rapist.
Well, that's my whole thing. I go, I know a lot about pedophile cults. That's my, everyone has like an area of expertise, you know?
Well, actually, Steven Spielberg, who created Pinky and the Brain, hid pedophile messages in the show.
Yeah.
So that's like that. That's like my version of being, you know, Noam Chomsky.
Having a good memory is a type of intelligence, but that's not the only type. You can be really intelligent and have a shitty memory.
Yeah, but I think there's like a lot of overlap. I think some people, I know people that are like intellectuals that can't do shit, but it's because they're lazy and they don't care to learn how to.
Right.
You know, because it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, sure, this guy, well, he speaks 3 languages, but can he change oil? And it's like, I'm sure he could. If he gave
also,
a shit to change
like,
oil.
Yeah, there's also
it's not
like
a complicated
social,
thing to do.
There's social intelligence where I think the ability to read people, read situations, you're very good at that.
Right.
I'm pretty good at it. I think, and then there are people that are brilliant but don't have that. So they're unable to maneuver, but they're still brilliant people, but they just don't, for whatever reason, they can't read a situation.
Yeah, you need to have
like
everything. To be truly successful, you got to fucking have it all. You know what I'm saying?
It would help.
You know, you can't be like a weird fucking, oh, I'm brilliant, but I just know fucking numbers and science and shit. And then you're not likable and you're weird and you smell and you don't shower and nobody wants to fuck you. Even if you're a scientist, you still have to make everyone want to fuck you.
Yeah,
that's part of the game.
If you want to be successful, I mean, you just need to be like a tall, but not too tall, attractive white man with just slightly above average intelligence.
And everyone can do that. That's what people
everyone
don't
can
tell
do
you.
That.
Yeah.
That's why I keep telling these.
Or you could be a black.
You
could be a black guy with slightly below intelligence, and then you can still fucking crush it. All you got to do is not murder.
Yeah,
people.
You either got to be radio or fucking Clark Kent. Those are your two options.
Right, right. Or an overweight woman.
Yeah.
So look, we got a great
like
show planned today.
That's my archetype.
Let's get the plugs out of the way right quick. Nick Mullen, anything coming up?
No, actually, I don't think we have anything coming up. But shout out to TRL Woodworking on Instagram. He sent us some of those those things. I know I shit on them on your show, on Legion of Skanks.
Yeah.
But now that he's given them to me, I think they're great.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't put them on your wall.
If you're also watching the live stream, he did the whole studio. Nice guy, good woodworker.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's selling shit. He might just be doing remodeling, but...
Timmy?
Tampa, don't steal kids at Busch Gardens. Come out to Side Splitters, the 4th through the 7th. L.A. for the rest of January, I'll be doing Kill Tony on the 15th at the Comedy Store. And then Laugh Boston, 18th through the 20th. Come on out. It'll be my birthday weekend. A lot of fun.
Fuck yeah, doggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to be in Connecticut. Mohegan Sun, myself, Greg Stone, Kim Congdon. We're going to be there the 4th through the 6th, the comics at Mohegan Sun. Go grab tickets now. That shows, those shows are going to be fucking fire. Also, Boston's coming up in March. Los Angeles, I'll be there. I'm waiting on my dates right now. I got to go out this month in January. So I'll be out there possibly with Tim Dillon
hopefully,
hanging out.
Yeah.
We could do Kill Tony together. How much
Let's
fun would
it.
That be?
Let's tell you. I hope you're out there.
Yeah. GomezComedy.com. Yes, it might be Tampa as well. I'm doing a cruise, and we're coming into Tampa on the, like, 25th or 26th. I'm trying to work out either a live podcast with all the skanks or a stand-up show. Hang tight, Tampa. I'm going to let you know for sure. I'm trying to work out the details now. I apologize if I'm being fucking an asshole about it. Also, Roastmasters every Tuesday night. That's tonight if you're watching live. If you guys want to come for free, use the promo code RAP. You got New York City's best young comedians roast battling each other. A lot of hilarious comedians that are part of this judges table as well. Both Tim and Nick have done that. So go grab tickets for free. And that's it. All right. There we go. So it's the day after Christmas, Boxing Day. Boxing Day, Canada. Which it's... why do they call it... It's Boxing Day because they... Is it because you bring all the boxes back to the store? What's the reason?
Mm-hmm. It says there's several different possible origins, but mainly a Christmas box in Britain is the name of a Christmas present. And so it says Boxing Day was traditionally a day off for servants and the day when they received a Christmas box from their master. So they were actually able to spend time with their own family.
Slaves.
That's a nice way to put a nice spin on imperialism. Yeah, yeah. This is the one day that they weren't beaten and raped and they were actually given a box.
Yeah.
Christmas box. How many nasty...
Unless they, dropped a teacup, in which case they were sent to the furnace.
Which case they were tied to the wall.
Yeah. But we're going to use you to heat the anteroom.
How many sadistic masters gave like a nasty gift? You know what I mean? Like gave a box and opened it up.
Here's your child's hand.
Yeah, it was the foot of the guy who had the job before you. They're like, no, take the day off.
Yeah.
You want to go? Go. Sure.
Right.
It's Boxing Day.
I'm an inbred syphilitic megalomaniac, and I'm wishing you a happy Boxing Day with your son's penis,
which I chewed with an Earl Grey.
Some fucking 13-year-old kid that's been fucking
it's like Joffrey.
Just inbred for centuries.
Well, that's what Tony Hinchcliffe looks like. If you look at Tony Hinchcliffe, you go, like, Giannis
pull
had
up
a
Tony,
great point.
Pull up Tony.
Pull up Tony. Tony Hinchcliffe looks like a guy who did horrible things to chambermaids.
He has the bone structure of the Marquis.
Yeah, like he cleaned, like they would have to like clean up a maid, like two guards would go to each other in the middle of the night and go, we got to clean the room again. Yeah. And they're just taking out like the intestines of a maid.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got like the entrails of somebody hanging out of his mouth. And he's smiling. Yeah. He's got somebody's small intestine. He's just chewing on it.
Happy
like
Boxing Day.
Happy Boxing Day.
There he is.
Hello.
Happy Boxing Day.
I mean, he's done some,
Yeah.
He feeds you your own fucking kids' brains.
Those are always great movies. It was like a million movies when we were growing up that had like a nasty, like Rob Roy was one of them, Braveheart, like they all had like a nasty foppish lord who was like kind of weirdly gay, but also just abused.
Well, they made fun of him in Shrek. It's Doctor or whatever his name is. The little guy in Shrek is that kind of dude.
He is that archetype of guy.
Yeah. Also, Tim Dillon, every time you walk into a conversation, if you ever walk into a room and Tim Dillon's on the phone, he's going to be discussing food like he's... I mean, purchasing a restaurant or like he's some sort of like food critic that's like very high of high importance. Like he's talking about it like
$91 in my bank.
The fucking food has to be talked about right now. And it's like, like you're planning a wedding. What is going on? Who are you talking to?
A friend of mine called me and they wanted advice. So I'll give them advice on where to go. They're thinking about proposing. So they want a kind of restaurant. And I was talking about different kinds of restaurants.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was like, you don't propose in a steakhouse, number one. You don't do that. No. You're not going to propose next to a fucking table.
You don't want
to
propose in a restaurant in general.
It feels like all the proposals I've seen in the last year between like my family and friends or whatever are always at like a state park.
Yeah.
That's always happening.
That's okay.
Let's go for a hike.
I have no problem with that. I'll tell you why. Because your fucking proposal shouldn't.
That's how women get murdered in the woods.
Yeah. Okay. Right. But I mean, that's a chance.
Every jogger getting... was like, you know, yeah. somebody that was in a relationship.
That's what happened to that woman
months.
Recently who Listen. Was eaten by her two dogs.
yeah.
She got proposed to. Said
she
no.
Got proposed to. And said no.
And I don't want. Just, I don't. Yeah. I don't want your wedding proposal
moving up at Cutco, taking her out to the fucking.
I don't want your wedding proposal to interrupt my dinner and my night, okay?
Yeah.
Your birthday party shouldn't be at a restaurant.
Yeah, dude. I was at Joe's Crab Shack last week, and some fucking 8-year-old asshole decided to have a birthday in the Lewis middle of like, my in the middle of my soft shell crab sandwich.
I gotta be honest with you. It's
and
not
I
good.
Put his fucking head through the bric-a-brac.
Lewis is like, I'm just trying to vape and call the waitress the N-word. And two tables over, somebody's trying to get engaged. What's going on?
No, dude. Listen
Lewis
to me.
Had the best restaurant moment, literally, I'm not even kidding. That I've ever been to. We went to Amy Ruth's in Harlem. Black owned, black operated. Mm. And they were really bad that day. The food's good, but they were really bad. Me, Lewis,
I mean,
James,
dog, if you want to, on a really, imagine a really good day in Harlem, the service.
Right. It's,
you're lucky. You're lucky if you get your food on a good
Lewis
day in
said,
Harlem.
Maybe the funniest thing I'd ever heard in a restaurant, I was sitting next to him, and Lewis's girl, Beatrice, you know, his ex girl was like, she's like, Lewis, relax. Like, the waitress is probably, you know, dealing with other tables. And then Lewis goes, the waitress is getting a tattoo of a money sign on her stomach.
I imagine
he said
in
it
the
so,
back.
He said it so loud.
In the back Amazing. At that moment being like, nah, yo, the food can wait. I got to get this tattoo, yo.
I got to get this money on my shit.
Yo,
that's so funny. I went to the Applebee's in Bed-Stuy with
a guy
I'm not allowed to make fun of publicly anymore.
Okay.
And
is that legal or no?
What?
That you can't make fun of him publicly?
No, I mean, he at the time. No,
okay. I'm just curious.
Illegal in terms of what? I mean, can I be sued? Sure. Anybody can sue me for fucking anything.
Right. So but you can't say his name at all in public?
Well, I choose not to because I've brought enough, you know, like I don't feel like I did anything other than draw attention to somebody who was publicly posting all this shit. Anyway,
right.
So. Can you get in trouble for that?
No. I mean, look, anybody can sue you for anything. I feel like I've never done anything.
The difference between me and you
is defamation, nor have I neglectfully, you know, caused undue stress towards him, which is... not something a lawyer told me to say, but I mean, if I had to make a case, that's
Nick. You look like a burglar in 1950s Paris.
Yeah, I look like a burglar now.
He looks like every burglar in Brooklyn Nine-Nine because every criminal was white. You know, every single criminal on that show was a white man. It was like
I guess,
in Brooklyn.
I didn't realize how stupid I looked until I saw
every cat burglar.
Right. Yeah. Hey, we are going to steal the croissants. We go to the Louvre to steal the croissant. That's such a fun voice to do.
So
we're at Bed-Stuy. Bed-Stuy, I didn't tell the story.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
we're at Bed-Stuy Applebee's, and
a lot of proposals have happened there.
Right. Yeah, and you know, first of all, it's Bed-Stuy, and this is
it's Applebee's.
This was like 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. I don't know. So it was like, I mean, not that Bed-Stuy's like got like the. I mean, it was a little shittier, I guess.
Yeah.
And every year it gets a little bit better. Bed-Stuy, when I moved to New York City in 2001, Bed-Stuy was considered as dangerous as like places in the fucking Middle East. Like to go out at night, like there's a good chance you were getting hurt.
Yeah, if you were gay, they're gonna push you off the building. You know, you're a woman, you're gonna be burned to death. So we're there, and like the food's taking a while to show up because it's Applebee's
and Bed-Stuy.
and you're putting a lot of care in each dish.
Yeah. And he's like, do you think this is racial? I'm like, yeah, I think it's racial.
Yeah,
I think they're fucking, you're punishing us for being white by not bringing my fucking tortilla, you know, bean soup.
It's not that crazy, though. Yeah, there is a lot of reverse racism. Like,
I don't
black
give
community.
A shit.
If you're
fine, if that's all you can do is bring me soup late and you're being murdered by police, fair exchange. I don't care.
Black cock in your
There's
soup.
A lot of reverse racism.
If that makes
through,
the Applebee's tortilla bean soup taste as good as it does, then I will turn to the camera with the giant black cock in my mouth.
I would be
and
just
go
shooting
Applebee's.
Huge ropes into your spinach artichoke dip.
Yeah.
I just love the idea that
this is just a plate of cum. I ordered the asparagus.
There's some group of black nationalists that are like, well, we've got the theme restaurants. Like, once we work our way up to Outback. Yeah, they just jerk off all over the asparagus.
It's just a glass of piss.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I come back, Diet Coke.
Yeah. I come back to the table, like, sit down, and I'm like, whew, I just had one of those scares in the bathroom. You know when your pee really smells like cum? Yeah. And you're like, what did I? Am I cumming right now? And you're like, oh, no, I ate all that cum 30 minutes ago.
God.
Yeah, I had one of those cum pisses.
But just like the liberals are doing it anyway, they like, the criminal justice system is horribly biased. Just cum dripping out of their mouths.
This is our fault.
Yeah. They're like, I got to be honest, as cum goes, this is fine. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I went to the Million Man March and I let them all march directly into my ass and mouth.
I'm woke, just gargling.
So I have
gallons of cum in my Vitamix. I'm mixing them
I
up.
I want
in my,
more cum.
My
go
big
to the
Park Slope mansion where I'm separated from those people, aside from this sexual retribution I've created.
Yeah.
Where they're
on
allowed
Twitter.
They're fuck me, but they're not allowed in my restaurant.
So they take a while.
Oh, yeah. So they take a while. And then his soup comes, and he's like, I can't believe this. And he complains to the waitress, and he goes, yeah, there's no steam coming off of it.
Oh, my God.
He's complaining that it didn't look like...
I like your friend. Yeah. Whoever this guy is, I'm with him, and I'm against you.
Oh, okay. That's
fine. But I love that this is a guy that, like, ugh. God.
There's no steam.
There's no steam coming off out of the bowl.
You know what he's ordering soup?
It's supposed to look like the cartoon on the side of an oven mitt.
Doggy, the only time you're ordering soup is because it's fucking chilly. You want some soup. You want some hot soup in your body.
That's why you go to Applebee's in the Bed-Stuy Mall to get a nice homey soup feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't eat it in your home.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you didn't come in this enough. It's too cold.
Right. You want to go to a place where you can have a cozy soup, but also hear MTA workers complain about holiday pay.
Yeah.
You know, that environment.
Yeah, what, a man who's in jail for being a bad father is bringing you your soup late.
Right.
What did you tell your friend about proposing?
Well, we were just talking about different restaurants. I said if you
wouldn't... Tim, you didn't mention marriage. I just heard you listing, like, ingredients.
Well, we got on a tangent about food. But before you walked in, we were talking about if you're going to do it in a restaurant, do it and try to get a private room or a private booth. Know the table you're going to... Know the table first. Plan out the whole thing. Got to order a tasting menu.
You put it in their wine. You just drop the ring in their wine.
You got to decide how you're going to do it. And
you got to do it in a fun way. It's got to be a fun way. There was one that I heard about recently that somebody did that was fucking great. I like those videos where they do like a big dance and they get the whole town involved to do a flash mob. That's fun.
It's only fun if they say no. Yeah. That's what's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying we're not going to have like true marriage equality until there's like... public gay rejections all over the internet where it's like, you know, one gay guy proposing to another gay guy on like the Megatron and then he's like, oh God, no.
Like, dude, we're friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even gay.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Your brother.
Then they just
grew up together.
They just start to beat the shit out of each other. Everybody in Central Park is like, they're all like, well, this is a nice moment. Yeah. And they're like, wait a minute.
Some guy's like, gay world star.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's, I don't know how gays propose, but, you know.
Usually in their asshole. They hide the ring in their asshole.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't think gay marriage is a thing. Like, I think a lot of gay people when gay marriage was passed were kind of like, all right. Yeah. Like, I don't...
Nobody really cares anymore. Now it's just...
Yeah.
But that's one of the things
we're
right
like,
now.
Now we're like, should your four-year-old transition? Like,
gay, well,
we're
totally... Gays are cool, but like, the liberals didn't even blink. They were like, gay marriage is passed. Boom. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Let's fucking... Sure. Should you allow your children to suck fuck your dogs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think yes.
Yes.
I think I. That's what.
I love that was probably on a ballot somewhere that you voted on. Like you go in and you're reading them. You're like, all right, Prop C. Should kids be able to suck fuck dogs?
Yeah.
Well, what does suck fuck mean?
Yeah.
Suck definitely. Maybe not fuck, but absolutely suck.
So you were talking about Boxing Day being, you know, kings and rich people giving their servants.
Yeah, which is nice.
I live in a doorman building. This is the whole fucking thing, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I first moved into this building, they had the same doorman. I've been there for a couple of years. Okay.
Yeah.
And by
doorman, you just mean like cop who hangs out in the lobby. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't mean
a detective
like,
that keeps asking you questions.
Yeah. It's not like a white glove doorman, you know? He's like, yeah, and by doorman, I mean this guy from DCFS who's constantly asking where James is.
Right.
He's our doorman.
Yeah.
he's so, the security's so tight, he pats me down
every time I walk into my own... me piss into a cup twice a month.
Yeah it's crazy.
Uh-huh. And
he really cares about the building.
Yeah, no. I live. It's look if for home.
It's a nice building.
My building's very nice.
I've been in it. I like it.
My building's very nice.
What neighborhood are you in?
What?
What neighborhood are you in?
I live in
the black one,
Morningside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Morningside, Harlem. So when I first moved in, you know, my roommate's been there for quite some time, like 10 years, 13 years, and they had the same doorman for years. So, you know, she was giving them, I mean, there was like five doormen and then two like porters. She was giving them $100 each. So when I moved in, I was there for like a month.
Yeah.
She was like, cool, we're giving them $700. And I'm going like, that's a lot.
For Christmas?
That's a lot, dude. Yeah. I'm giving like $350 out of my pocket for like strangers.
Yeah.
Just fucking dudes.
Yeah.
And I did it and it was fine. And this, they changed the doorman. They fired all the doormen and they hired a security agency now. So It's just security guards.
Yeah. And it's different. It's different.
It's just fucking, black dudes. This is their part-time job.
They don't deserve it on those grounds alone.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Problem.
Yeah. You want this gift?
Yeah.
Is it Boxing Day?
Yeah. Is it Boxing Day?
Are you using the name I gave you? Because if you're still going by Jamar, we're going to have a fucking problem. I'm not writing Jamar on the fucking... I'm writing the checkout to Toby.
Did you used to work at the Bed-Stuy Applebee's?
Yeah, yeah.
You're now them all Toby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every dormant.
And in case you're wondering, yes, this is racial.
This is absolutely racial. I love the idea of this Puerto Rican guy being incredibly racist to a black security guard. There's something that feels 2018 about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in the way that people want it to be, but like that's its own kind of progress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's...
What's going on with this pipe? Why is it so big? Oh, what's...
Well, it's something he bought.
Oh.
No, probably a Christmas present he got for himself.
I got it from one of the sponsors.
Oh, that's okay. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's got a skull.
I love that this network's just sponsored by different types of drug paraphernalia.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of our sponsors.
B&D Needles brings you the Legion of Skanks podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For diabetes, in quotes,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
For diabetes.
Yeah,
listen to Tim Dillon.
Oh, here
Tim
comes Dillon. All the diabetics with neck tattoos right. To the back of CVS.
Yeah, here we go.
To get listen their to insulin.
Tim Dillon is going to hell. Brought to you by Tyson's Rape Kits.
Yeah. Do you need a needle in case you go to anaphylactic shock after you've had some shellfish? Yeah. Get one at gasdigitalnetwork.com.
So I just flat out fucking refuse to give Christmas gifts to them. I get one to one.
Now, do you feel like it's because you don't have the personal relationship you used to have with them? Like, why? Or is it just explicitly their race?
No, they were black before. They were always black.
No, I know.
They were always black.
But you don't feel like you don't feel like they're... Are they like slapping James 5? Are they those type of dudes?
No.
Okay.
We come in and like, let's say I'm carrying a bunch of shit and I got my kid and I'm fucking, you know, at the door trying to get my keys out and struggling to do that, which happens a lot. Because that's the type of person I am. Like, I don't think about my keys until I'm at the door. So whatever's going on in my life is still happening when I get to my door.
Just fidget spinners, right. Tech decks.
Yes.
Your hands are busy.
Yeah, you're also skateboarding. You're balancing.
Yes. So I fucking, they'll look at me. They'll make eye contact
with
me.
He's doing a Rubik's Cube in his mouth.
As I'm, I got my hands in my pockets trying to get the keys, and they'll just stare at me.
Yeah.
Okay? They won't let you in.
They'll look at me. They don't give a fuck. I'm with a child. I'm with a fucking
They're like, here comes that guy that went on that rant about Christmas presents in October.
Here's that guy who tipped me nothing.
Here's by the way, dude, in 2 months, if you're expecting a Christmas present,
I just love the idea that you're
for no reason in the middle of June.
Yeah.
But just so you know,
it's not happening this year.
Well, that's what happens as well. As soon as they changed over, I was like, well, they're not getting Christmas presents.
Yeah.
So they watch, and you have to get your keys and open
the
your
The rule
own door.
Should be that they should have to be there for a full year.
Yeah.
In order to get a Christmas present.
Have you ever said to them, hey guys, you see me at the door struggling. You know I live here. Dude, why don't you let me in?
It's never going to go. When a Puerto Rican and a black do that, it ends with a huge fight. So I already know not even to fucking go there. Why to play in traffic? It's not going to. If I say, because for me personally, I'll tell you this happened. I'm growing as a human. I'm truly growing as a human. This happened to me the other day.
Dying. I don't know if it's growing.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah.
I called to get burgers for me and my son.
Yeah.
Harlem Shake. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're pretty bad service, Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
Harlem. Okay. So I call them up, and this is actually like the third time they've done this. I call and they put me on hold immediately. Yeah. Like, hey, Harlem Shake, you know, you order for delivery, call. I'll be right back. They put me on hold.
And then they know you?
No, they don't know me.
Because I don't want to make that joke again, but like I would have a legitimate interest in knowing whether or not these people
new
are
phone
aware
number.
Of you.
Yes, oh, okay. You're right, but I have a new phone number. So actually, I thought of that.
Because you told me about that feud with Build-A-Bear that one time, and that was like...
If you do not...
You were not in the right.
If you don't give me impeccable service, you're going to know it.
Okay.
Every single time.
Yeah.
I'm the exact opposite.
I'm paying you, motherfucker.
I will spitefully tip someone more if they're shit.
That's psychotic. Well,
that's insane.
That's
too.
More I mean, crazy, that's crazy than me.
That's yeah. also all right. That's also crazy.
Yeah.
I can buy neither, and sell you.
Neither
I'll
one fucking, of these.
I'll buy this restaurant.
Neither one of these. Yeah, neither one of these is the right way to do it.
I'll impress your mother so much with how well I'm treating you that I can get married to her and become your stepmom.
Dude, tipping well is fucking so douchey. What's funny is I put that as one of the notes on here. Number four is that tipping well is douchey. I want to talk about this in a minute.
No, I think tipping, I think if you're in a restaurant and they do the right thing by you, if you like your door, I think you should tip people well that treat you well. But if they don't treat you well, there's no incentive.
Well, the reality is that we shouldn't have any job where people need to be tipped.
Well, that's not going to work. But,
Well, I mean, because they try to do it with, like, you know, nascent economies, like Uber. Now, obviously, there's, like, a precedent with, like, taxi cabs.
Yeah.
But Uber was functioning and Lyft was functioning for a while where the drivers were just making enough money from whatever the cut is. And now they added like, oh, you have to tip them. And it's like you actually shouldn't tip those guys.
Tip an Uber.
You should never tip those guys. You shouldn't support like this new model of
it's up to you. Well, they added Starbucks. Now you can tip for like 24 hours after you pick up your Starbucks on the app.
Yeah, but is there anything I understand, like, people aren't getting paid a living wage and that, and, you know, no health care, which I think is the major issue, is the health care more so than anything else. But, like, is there anything wrong with incentivizing people to stand out and do a better job by rewarding them monetarily by tipping them?
Their employer should give them raises.
Yeah.
Okay, but again, how does the employer even know how well they're doing?
Through the star system on Uber.
There's something.
That's one example, but I mean, there's other examples.
Yeah,
where
considering
it's like
I give a one.
Let me put it this way.
If you press the brake too hard.
At restaurants, are people getting raises because they're producing better tips? Is that happening? Because
there are steakhouses in New York City where people are making a hell of a lot more money with tips than they would ever make with any
Absolutely.
Type of salary.
Why change
that system? Those guys are being rewarded by their clients and customers that come back over and over again to that restaurant because they like their waiter.
Yeah,
and they also
like the food. If those waiters are working at a really shitty restaurant,
it's a very big part of the experience for me personally. If they give me shitty service, I don't care how good the food is, I'm not going back. And then same thing vice versa. Like if it's not great food but the service is impeccable,
and I'm talking,
I'll probably still go because I want, you know, I'll go in there and I want good food.
And I'm not talking about like shift pay with these guys getting $3 an hour. I'm talking about unionized. They're unionized waiters that are making a living wage. But on top of that, they're incentivized by
a
tip system.
Yeah, of course. They're incentivized. And I'm not saying that the tip system doesn't benefit a lot of people. I mean, obviously, they would be like plenty of bartenders in New York make way too much fucking money to be bartenders.
Yeah.
His Patreon just went ka-ching.
Yeah. Yeah, but when it goes, there's people on both ends. But any kind of like industry or like economy shouldn't be based on the idea that you could potentially not get paid for the work that you did, which tipping allows.
But that's all sales.
I didn't finish the point. And so the tipping system works well for a lot of people, but I'm saying it shouldn't exist. Not that we need to replace it, because you would fuck up a bunch of people's lives by replacing it.
Of course.
But if there's a new industry that comes about, you know, a new app, some tech solution to something where they say, also, you should tip these people. You shouldn't do it, and you shouldn't support that business model.
Yeah, here's the problem.
Sorry, to come back to an example of where it can fuck up is like all this. I was talking with somebody the other day about, remember that New York Times story about all the nail salon women in Chinatown?
No.
It was like 2 years ago. There's this big story on all these women that are making $11 a day to work in nail salons in Chinatown. Yeah. People are like, oh, this is horrific. And so they shut down all these fucking places as a result of the article, and it just fucked up the lives.
Starved these Asian women.
Well, yeah, now they don't have any fucking money.
Yeah.
So just because like a system is better than nothing, or that it even benefits some people in certain ways, and they figure out how to make money work around it, you still need protections and need to make sure that going forward, that's not something that we, you know, embrace.
In the restaurant industry, if they didn't implement, you know, or if they took away the tipping infrastructure, they said, all right, well, business owners now have to pay more. They have to pay $15, $20 an hour, whatever it is. It's just going to be reflected in the price of the fucking burger and Diet Coke or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're paying for it no matter what. So hold on.
Which is what they said about healthcare.
Let me say this. We're being forced in turn to pay them money anyway, right? And then the person isn't really incentivized, because right now that person who's working off of tips is incentivized to do a fucking great job and to kill it. I don't think that.
But you still get bad service all the fucking time.
I know, and I don't tip them, or I tip them less than I would normally.
I think I understand what Nick is saying, where you have corporations that are basically passing the buck to people, going, "We don't want to pay our employees."
They're passing the buck to people no matter what. But it just depends on how you.
Here's the way I would tell you: all of sales jobs, the majority of sales jobs, many of them are commission based.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of headhunting jobs, a lot of jobs are merit based in some way, where there's incentives that are built into your compensation package. Some of those jobs are the incentives are the package is more fair, meaning that, okay, you know, certain restaurants you get shift pay, which is really like under minimum wage. So if you're really bad at the job, you don't earn those tips, and then you either quit and find another job, or you get better at the job. But there's so many sectors of the economy where it's like there are incentives like built into it one way or another. Even your, I mean, listen, everything we do with Patreon, with this, with that, people are, it's not tipping per se, but it's like, you know, there is no guaranteed income for any of us ever.
Yeah.
And we're just earning money based on doing a better job than other people. So I don't know how you fully get that away from,
but I see, then
take that out of society, you know?
You can't. I mean, right. Yeah, obviously you can't get rid of it entirely.
I'm just here to defend billionaires. Yeah. That's what me and Lewis are here to do.
And I don't think that compensation is merit-based, because, I mean, look at any, like the idea of a meritocracy in anything is pretty much a myth. With the exception,
I mean, come on,
with the exception of professional sports.
Do you not think that Come Town's a better podcast than fill-in podcast that makes no money?
I do not think it's a better podcast than Tuesdays with Stories. We make way more fucking money than them.
But here's the problem. You don't think that, but the thousands of people that donate to your Patreon do think that.
I don't think
so. There has been a value judgment made on the market. The market is saying there is a market for what you do, that monetarily it might not be a better podcast than Jesus with Stories, but financially, it's more successful. And that you can't argue.
And it's based off of the people that want to give you money,
not
because they look at it, they say, hey, you guys do the same thing, but I like what you do more, so here's more money.
Yeah.
Based off what you're saying, hey, I mean, look, fuck it, dude. We should just have the same amount of money. Let's split up what Patreon gives out and give it to Tuesdays with Stories, because they have a better podcast.
There's no perfect. There's no perfect.
I believe that would be a fair system. I'm addicted to cocaine, so there's exterior forces that prevent me from doing that. Yeah. I need all of that money to kill myself with.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's as good of a reason as any.
Oh fuck, oh, shit. I'm a great tipper when the service is like impeccable, and I go above and beyond. I'll make sure that I tip, but I do feel like there's a weird thing, like, especially in the holiday season. Just now I got out of a cab. I took it from the train, like two avenues over here, just to make sure I was on time. And I got out of the cab and I gave him the $3, and it was only because it was Christmas and it was the day after Christmas, the holiday season. And it was like a $5 cab ride or $4.80 cab ride. And I gave him an extra $3, and I'm going, like, there's something douchey about going, like, here you go, like, here take some money, peasant, it's the holiday season. Somebody throwing fucking money at a
no, I think there's something
driver.
There's something nice about that. I don't know if it's douchey.
It comes off from, for some reason, it just feels very, like, I don't know, very douchey and hand jobby. And also, it's because I can't imagine working a job where somebody was handing me a dollar and I have to say
there's a Wall Street guy who's 30 who's tipping a waiter or a bartender. This Wall Street guy makes an exorbitant amount of money, that waiter or bartender, and they're the same guy. They look alike. I saw this happen the other night, and it's like one guy's in a completely different world, and he's tipping this guy a holiday tip. It's a lot of money. Is there something douchey about that? I don't know. I mean, this guy needs the money, and he's giving him the money, you know? There's no way to really do it.
I don't know. It's just this. If I was working a job where if some dude gave me a 30% tip,
well, what I do is I go into my family's.
If I was working a job where there was a $25 bill, and then somebody gave
me, I'm not fucking gay, dude.
Somebody gave me $25.
I will not suck your dick.
But if somebody gave me $25 on top of my bill as a 100% tip, and I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Oh my god, thank you. There's just something maybe that I can't, like, wrap my head around. There's something, it bothers me if I was the guy that had to be in the position to be thanking somebody for that. So it feels douchey on the other end.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Is that crazy?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's just pride.
So I just don't tip.
All right. You
know, so fuck them. That's what I say. No, I do.
Lewis is like, you want to make an honest buck? Go steal some perfume from Sephora.
Yeah.
You always hear about Kwanzaa in this season, and I don't know anything about it. So I went on CNN.com because I was just looking at some holiday.
I was hoping this story was So I went on CNN to talk about Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Well, they have a story.
They had me on. Wolf Blitzer. Now, Luis Gomez. Yeah. Luis J. Gomez.
I'm actually the darkest black person they've ever had on to discuss race in America.
They have a story which is a non-black person's guide to Kwanzaa. Which is just racist.
Well, Kwanzaa's not. Yes. I don't think Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa was invented in like 1967.
Yeah, Kwanzaa is not. It doesn't trace its roots back to Africa. It's an American holiday.
Yeah, it's an American holiday that was made up.
There's Ann Coulter wrote an article called
"Spell It." They
Kwanzaa, a holiday from the FBI, which is a very funny article.
They keep on just adding A's to it.
I love that Ann Coulter has found a way to hate Kwanzaa, which is like, how does that affect you?
Does she hate Kwanzaa?
No, but she wrote an article. It's funny. The Kwanzaa holiday from the FBI. I think what it was about is that people didn't really know what Kwanzaa was. You had all these white liberals running around going, it's historic, and Ann Coulter was basically like, you don't even know what it is.
Yeah. So she was saying in the article, she was just trying. Like, it was, the problem is with the people on the right, they're very provocative sometimes, and when they do that, it's like, even if they're making a great point, it gets lost in. Like, I watched a dude the other day.
Of course.
He was making a great point, but he kept on using the term soy boy, and it made me hate him. It's like, the soy boy is the new cuck, I guess, of 2018 going into it. So people that use, like, the key buzzwords,
well, it's like bug me. Owen Benjamin will say something that makes sense, and then he's like, I'm standing naked in my backyard, running in and out of my sauna because it raises testosterone. Testosterone levels. And you're like, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute, what were you saying about the flat tax? Like, Why are you naked in the woods?
I love my wife, but I punch her in front of my son every day.
Yeah.
To let him know that we are also equal.
You know, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, anytime you let an ideology.
I love that those guys are all obsessed with that too. It's like raising their testosterone level.
Yeah, that's what they want
to
do.
I get a blood test done every 6.5 hours to make sure my T levels are on point.
Because I'll turn gay. And then trans and then liberal. That's what happens.
That's the order.
Yeah, gay, trans, and then liberal.
Yeah.
Then I'll start talking about health insurance.
Like, really, it's like, does your dick get hard? Yeah. Then you're fine.
Right.
You don't need to worry about other shit than that.
Yeah, I don't even understand the whole. I guess as you get older, why would you want to raise
your
testosterone?
My brain thinking
levels?
Is diminishing. I need more testosterone.
Well, because there's
time to take fake pills sold by a guy who thinks he's a gorilla.
Yeah. I gotta take this powder. I want to keep thinking clearly.
Yeah, you must be using beta brain, Nick.
Yeah. Me? Yeah, okay. Probably.
Yeah,
that's where I get all my cuck ideas about tipping people.
So, but Kwanzaa, I didn't know anything about it. I had no idea.
Wait a minute.
What?
No.
I swear to God, I knew nothing. I knew nothing, dude.
No. Okay, go on.
I was one of these people who thought it was like some sort of African bush holiday.
Yeah.
Where the only thing that I knew that somebody told me recently.
Like all those African bush holidays. Yeah. We all know and love.
The month of February.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I call it the African bush month. No, but I had no idea. So this is a specific guide that will walk you through if you're a non-black person.
My favorite thing about Black History Month is when they're like, to confront all the like bullshit black people didn't invent anything propaganda that like white supremacists put out. They'll put out a list of things that black people have invented. But I feel like that's also racist propaganda because they're like, George Washington Carver, peanut butter. And it's like, that's the best one you got? Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of other shit you could choose. I think they deliberately chose like one of the shittiest things. To put that at the forefront, so it's like, kind of.
It's like all those lists are made by a white guy.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
A secret alt-right guy who's burrowed in. He's like, let me make these lists. Cotton balls.
Right.
Yeah, but when's the last time you were hanging out with a black guy and he's the one who came up with the idea?
He's inventing something?
Yeah, he's not. They're not inventing
shit. Yeah.
Okay.
Every black guy I know has invented something. Mm. You know, they all got a different way of getting through the turnstile.
Yeah, that's true.
Without swiping.
Shannon, go through the list. We're going to learn about Kwanzaa today on the Real Ass Podcast.
Well, I saw one list one time that was like, you know, they do invent stuff. And the things on there were like, you know, the sewing machine.
I love
this.
Don't assume every black person speaks Swahili.
I do.
I mean, that's my assumption.
Don't even assume the...
it's not a Hanukkah knockoff.
Yeah.
These are things no one ever thought.
Don't even assume just the black people who celebrate Kwanzaa.
Don't assume it's related to Jews. Yeah. I didn't.
I'm emphasizing the quote-unquote...
Don't think the N in Kwanzaa stands for the N-word. It's not. I know I thought that.
Yeah.
I'm emphasizing the black people who celebrate Kwanzaa part because not all of us celebrate Kwanzaa. Blah blah blah. Whatever. Karenga, the professor who created the holiday in 1966, chose Swahili as a holiday's language.
You should put money on that.
Yeah,
because it's one that isn't defined by a particular African region or tribe. Oh,
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Hakuna Matata, right? That's Swahili, right? Isn't it?
The Kinara holds 7 candles, 1 black, 3 red, 3 green, which represent the people, the struggle, and the future. And this, they also represent the 7 principles: unity, self-determination, collective responsibility, cooperative economics, communism, purpose, creativity, and faith.
Well, as soon as you saw it was created by a professor, you know, it's like some far-left nonsense.
Yeah. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Every time you get a black person that's all fucking uppity and professor-like, they wear like African fucking jewelry, but they were born in America.
I saw Cornel West on the street the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh. Me and JP saw him. We were headed somewhere.
Who's that? Pull Cornel West up, Shannon.
All right.
Who's Cornel West?
He owns the Westin hotel chain.
Yeah.
Cute.
He invented corn.
He's that guy. You've seen him on Bill Maher. He's in a feud now with Tallahassee Coates.
Yeah.
Your other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know any of these people. These people are that. But that.
Well, it was funny. It's like, do you just go get a picture with him? You know?
No.
Yeah, I know. That would be awful.
No.
Ask for an autograph?
Yeah. The thing about me and you and Lewis is we don't really respect academics. We don't like people who spend their life in a classroom.
Because there's something about the person who excels at that root word.
I'd say, well, I don't need to be edged out of this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no. You're one of these school nerds.
I'm talking about getting my picture taken with a guy who's been on TV.
You're one of these fucking, you know.
I didn't go to college. I don't have a fucking degree. I don't read books either.
You're one of these guys, dude. You're always sitting there reading a book.
I'm never reading a
book. Always at a desk, loving it.
I haven't read a book in 6 months.
You're reading all those books at Comedy Knockouts.
Yeah.
All that literature.
Yeah.
No, but there's something about that. There's something about people who sit at a desk and are really good at that and want to be good at that.
Yeah.
And I go, you're kind of an idiot in a weird way. Like, you're so smart and you can fucking do, you could do so much.
It's like their cup is very big.
Their cup is so huge, it could be overflowing with all awesome shit.
Yeah.
But instead, they decide to be a part of a system which, in the best case scenario, you go and you work for somebody else and work for the fucking man. And I'm almost, in a weird way, I kind of hope my kid's an idiot. I hope my kid's not good in school and doesn't excel and doesn't really love that.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. If cups are genetic, I think me and you like operators. We like people who kind of get things done. We respect, not that we don't respect intellectuals, but like I think that the idea that you just passively experiencing life and telegraphing that in a classroom to us is less interesting than somebody like Osama bin Laden or someone who get or Putin somebody cool, somebody McVeigh. Make something happen.
McVeigh was a dude.
Timothy McVeigh.
Well, I mean,
you didn't celebrate Kwanzaa, that. Timothy McVeigh, and that's the end of the Kwanzaa segment.
But you know what I mean? Like, we're never gonna. As soon as we hear someone's a professor, we automatically go, all right.
Yeah. Well, what do you want
to
say?
You're also
about
trying to create fucking like other assholes. Like
absolutely.
Like you're also a part of that. It's very weird. I only started thinking of this since my kid started going to school, and now we're putting him into kindergarten next year. And it sucks. What he's in right now, it's like super hippy dippy play based. Like they don't even fucking. Like they go in, like they're learning. It's like today we're gonna hum colors. Like what?
That's because you just drop him off at a drug addict's house in the village. He's like, this school's not even a school. It's just people getting high.
No, they.
You just drop him off at the creek in the cave. You're like, it's this real hippy dippy weird guacamole centered curriculum where.
Yeah, James smells like vomit for some reason.
Yeah, he's just in the backyard getting high.
No, he goes to like a private like weird.
A lot of
fucking
schools are like that when kids are very young.
Yeah, but now he's going into more of a regular. You know,
regimented
normal
school.
Yeah,
but the idea of being in a desk, like we're one of the schools we're looking at. They customize the curriculum around the kid, so they have an interview with the kid, and they have a few interviews with them, and they really break down the type of learning, and they give them the type of test.
Yeah,
and then they give them this like customized.
What's your last name, Gomez? And they just lead him to a fryer. They're like, you have to wait until the red light goes on, otherwise you're gonna burn yourself.
Now there's a difference between this beeping, beep, beep, beep. That means the fries are done. Yeah. Or there's this beeping. Beep. Yeah.
Smile
beep.
At the customer. They will not tip you.
That means
but you still are
oil.
You're still representing McDonald's.
Yeah. No, but that, and then these schools are like $30,000, $40,000 a year.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's fucking crazy.
It's crazy.
So now you're forced to put your kid into the regular, sit at a desk with 30 other students, learn this way, be part of this structure, have a boss that tells you what to do, when to eat. The middle of the day is your fucking normal lunch hour. You go there, you do this, you have to be back at a certain time and be a part of that and have that be a part of your personality for all of these formative years. Or you can you have to be rich.
Yeah.
You have to be fucking rich
the only actual necessary element of like sending your kid to school is that they get socialized, which is like something that's critical to somebody's like normal development, you know? I mean, have you ever like hung out with like homeschooled people?
Yeah.
They're fucked up.
Yeah.
They're like fucked.
It depends how they do it, because most homeschooling now isn't your child with a mom. That's kind of fucking crazy. Everyone, even and now that we have the internet and you have fucking blogs and all this other shit,
yeah,
you know that. Like that's not really the right way to do it.
Yeah.
What happens is if you homeschool your kid, like I would have the kids on Fridays, right?
Yeah.
And I would be in charge of arts and crafts, right? So the five kids in my kind of homeschooling community and group would come, and I follow curriculum that I find online, and we all agree on the type of curriculum and the type of method that we're going to use to teach our children. And up until like the fucking eighth or ninth grade, I can handle that shit, dude.
Right. Well, but no, they need to socialize. Like,
but they're socializing with kids in that regard, and they're not socialize. Yeah. You know, they're socializing with a group of people that have their parents have similar sensibilities.
Yeah.
Disciplining structures. Because you get kids now that go out. My kid will go to the park, and there's some little fucking, you know. Little
don't
poor,
say it. We
poor,
get it.
Poor.
We get it.
It's a poor kid who's fucking gets his ass beat and grows up in a violent environment, and then he's punching my kid in the head, and now my kid's gay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's the other way around.
It's a Tim Dillon story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Here's the problem. All of the things that are part of the infrastructure of, like, what a school is, like, dealing with teachers, getting somewhere on time, dealing with other students, like, distinguishing yourself, defining yourself in some way, those kind of are important, and I think it's socialization, like the larger context of like, yeah, you go to high school, you have 4 years to kind of like decide what your deal is, who you're gonna be. Like you go to a bunch of different parties, you like who are your friends? Like are you gonna, you know, all of those things matter. I think I don't think you need to like build this curriculum around a kid. I think they need to learn how to function in a system, and then they can go be an individual. There's a lot of people that then go be an individual. You need to learn how to function in a system to a degree.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I agree with
you
that.
You know what I mean?
But when I say building the curriculum around a kid, we know that people learn differently. Like, I learned very differently.
Yeah, but learning doesn't fucking matter.
They've known this since the 90s.
I learned very differently. I don't learn. That's how different.
Do you remember in the early 90s, we all did those tests in elementary school where they were like, what type of learner are you? And you find out that you're a kinetic learner or a fucking whatever learner, whether the auditory or whatever it is.
Or
right?
You'll learn better in jail. Yes. Whatever it is.
But the thing is, like, for me, if I have to memorize lines for a script, if I write them out by hand and physically write the lines, I memorize them very easily.
Yeah.
If I don't do that.
I think that's universal.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
That's not true. Some people hear it and they memorize it way better.
Some people are better at memorizing things off the paper. But you take anybody and give them the lines, and
I'll take your point. I agree with your point that there's different. Some people are auditory. Some people are more visual. That being said, I think you still need to, even if you're a visual learner, you still have to learn how to function somewhat in an environment where that's not going to be
available.
Yeah, but
it's about when you're a child, it's not about learning how to just function. That's a part of it. And the truth is, if you have a good parent, they're bringing you into different environments. You're doing extracurricular activities. You're going to the park. You're going to fucking swim class and karate class. And he's socialized so much, you know? But if you're what was the fucking point you just made? I'm sorry, dude. I lost my train of thought.
I was just saying you got to function in a system and you got
to. Oh, okay. So here's the thing. I think when they're this young in these formative years, the whole goal. Hi, darling. The whole goal of it is for them to sharpen those tools as much as possible, to become as productive as possible, to become as ready for life as possible.
Right.
And I think that if you're having a kid who feels dumb because he's not getting it, because he's learning in an environment with 30 people and not everyone's learning at the same pace or in the same way, and they choose one specific path to teach these kids, I think that that creates more social issues than not being in a fucking school with a bunch of fucking crazy animals running around trying to fight each other.
No, sure, but that's why you got to stay on top of what's going on in the school and your kid's development, and if something's not working, change it.
Yeah. Well, it's about good parenting, but the problem is you can't depend. Most, I shouldn't say most, but there's a lot of parents that are shitty parents, and then you kind of go, okay, well, now this fucking kid, we're just basing it on this a complete other generation, a whole other generation of this person being a good person or a bad person, whether or not he hit the lottery and had great parents.
It's like, I don't think I use anything I learned in fucking school. Nothing. Not a single thing. Math is obviously nobody needs that. Every kind of math I do is basic math, and it can be handled by a calculator, and it's mostly tax related. knowing how to do taxes is something I just, you have to learn by, you know, going through all those fucking forms. There's nothing, there's nothing I do. I mean, I have a podcast. There's no input that the school system will provide for that. And like, comedy is the thing that I'm best at. I've tried a lot of things in my life. It's the only thing that I'm like particularly any good at. And there's no way to like recognize that in a child and then like foster that in a, you know, an environment that's designed to be sort of like a shotgun spray effort to encapsulate everybody. What are the general skills we can give to children at large? You know, it's like there's no way to do that. But what was invaluable was like all of the socialized. You learn everything about people and the way you interact with them and what people think about you, and it's through school. And like that includes like bullying, you know.
Fingering,
yeah. But both being bullied and bullying other people, you know? Because you figure out where you sort of exist in
the world. Yeah, where on the spectrum are you?
Dude, I tried to bully a kid. I remember I got into a few fights. I was always a bigger kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got into a few fights in like elementary school.
Well, that's because you were 32 years old. It was second grade and you were...
It's very difficult not being the alpha to a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
You're just dealing with...
It's just a kid continually outsmarting Lewis. Yeah, Lewis just beating the shit out of him. Yeah. Lewis just hitting a kid who keeps outsmarting him. Lewis is like, no, that's not how to spell it. And the kid's like, look! And Lewis is like, fuck! And just starts wailing him.
Yeah. No, but I came from one middle school to the other middle school. And I got into a few fights, and I won the fight. So I was starting to get a little, like, confidence.
Yeah.
And I went to Haversham Middle School, and I just tried to bully this kid Jeff. And I was like, we just got into, like, a thing. We bumped into each other online. I was like, fuck you, you fat fuck. I called him. I was also fat.
Yeah.
It's like a fat kid bullying another fat kid.
Nothing better.
And I just swung at him. He ducked, and he just fucking wrecked me.
Yeah.
Just dropped me.
Don't you want your son to have those experiences?
Yeah. You got to get your kid fat. You got to give him a personality.
Don't you want James to hick? No, listen, man.
No, I don't want him to be either. I don't want him to be either kid. I want him to be the kid in the background. Dude, if you took a picture of that, there's the kids watching going, oh, shit.
You learn so much.
Those two spicks are trying to kill each other.
You learn so much in high school that you don't realize you learn, I think. I realize that I learn certain things later on from that experience.
Like
I'm
what?
Like,
I'd say critical thinking skills are important to anybody's development, but I don't think you need school to develop those. I'd say in terms of critical thinking, comedy helped me more than anything.
Mm. I learned about people, the people.
There's also
I was
things
around
that you don't even realize that are a part of the process of growing into who you are. Yeah. That are you know. I agree that there's these social aspects and there's these elements to.
I learned a lot about class. You'd go over rich kids' house. Well, I lived in a Catholic school. Went to Catholic school. So it was like there was a huge variation of people, and you'd meet really successful families, and then families that were fucked, and then you would go, I get it. Why? Like you start to discern certain things about people and their environments and their families.
It's a high school in general. It's sort of like a microcosm of life, right?
Yeah.
And the workplace.
I learned how to be popular.
Even in high school, I wasn't the kid who conformed and sat there and had the job, right?
Right.
I was a kid who got by. I still passed. I still graduated. I still went to prom. I still did all the things you were supposed to do.
Sure.
And I did it by playing hacky sack and being funny and
right. You
being
found
the little
your way.
Fucking ADD cycle that I was.
Yeah.
I still figured out the path to get to where I need to get. And this is kind of what we're doing. Luckily, once you're out of that world, and it's not everybody.
Right.
Most
no one's a class clown at home school.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah,
that's
you're
a
right.
Point.
You're 100% right about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that there's something about figuring out how to get through life in whatever way you're going to get through life.
I was like in the
practice.
Ninth grade, I was a fucking like outcast. And then by 12th grade, I got nominated for Homecoming King because I figured out like you can figure out how to be, I hate to say it, it sounds stupid, but it's like you figure out how to be cool,
right? Like
how to not be a loser. Some people are losers.
In middle school, I was like a complete faggot. And then in ninth grade, I was like a different kind of faggot.
Right.
And then 10th and 11th grade, I was like a completely different kind of faggot.
King
and by 12th
faggot.
Grade,
everybody
really
hated for different
voice.
Reasons.
Yeah, even you knew you were a faggot in the 12th grade.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
I still am. I don't know.
Like, I saw a guy from high school who was like a complete loser in high school the other day. And I mean, irredeemable. It was nothing. And then I saw him the other day and I'm like, oh, you're still that, like, that's the thing. You start realizing that, oh, like, all the losers, there's this weird, like, narrative where it's like, oh, yeah, but all those guys who are losers in high school, they're going to go out and invent apps and they're going to be, and it's like, You know, one of them, but the rest of them just become
not even
losers.
One of them.
Oh,
right. Point, like,
yeah, the rest of them.
One out of every 10,000 of them are going to go become millionaires.
We were right to not invite you to the lunch table. You smelled then, you smell now.
There was a guy I was friends with. There was a guy I was friends with.
Look what he's going to do in the future, dude.
Yeah.
He's bringing nothing to the table right now.
Zero. That's a great
point.
You
got a fucking A in chemistry? Fuck off, faggot.
Yeah.
Give me your lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But I wasn't a bully. I wasn't a bully at all because it was that moment in the sixth grade where I got my ass kicked. And if Jeff Diaz didn't kick my ass in the sixth grade, I might have went down that path. And you're right, Tim. There's a thing in high school where you either turn into a cool kid or an outcast or whatever it is, and you make
somewhere
all these little
decisions.
Jeff
Diaz is like watching this, going like, I kicked that guy's ass, and that guy's got a company right now. And poor Jeff Diaz is like working at the Bed-Stuy Applebee's.
Nope, Jeff Diaz got into a motorcycle accident and died when we were like 24.
Badass, dude.
It's beginning.
So it looks
to
like
look
he won.
You know what? Luis J. Gomez, real ass dude of the week.
That's it. There he
for
is.
For winning that battle.
And next time, try to have the obituary up. Thank you.
We all, here's the thing, right? You, in middle school, high school, whatever it is, you're all trying to figure out how to get to wherever you're trying to get. Now, you make these decisions. We're all actually trying to be prom king. It's funny you were nominated for prom king.
I didn't win. No,
you were nominated.
King, but I was nominated. It was three nominations.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
They give it to the kid whose mother died in 9/11. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, fuck that kid. Okay.
Exactly.
So listen, you know, you chose the right fucking paths.
Yeah.
And it really is just about making decisions. It's the words you choose and the friends you choose. And it's like,
you got to drop your loser friends. I learned that. You got to drop them. Losers.
We're all
they're
trying.
Dead weight.
We're
they
all trying
go.
To become homecoming king.
You
though.
Can't make. You can't save them.
But what happened?
You think any of that was like because you were closeted? You had an extra need to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. But no. But I always wanted to be. Here's the thing. I always kind of wanted to be cool. And I hung out with a bunch of kids that weren't cool, and they were like the supposed like they didn't care about being cool. And then you realize that all they cared about was being cool.
Yes. Everyone
and then,
cared.
And then as soon as I admitted that it's like comedy. As soon as you admit that you want certain things in comedy, you can then go get them.
It's setting a goal. If you're not, if you're not even admitting to yourself or anybody else that the goal is to go there, you're never going to get there.
All these kids.
This is actually the point that I was making. Yeah. It's really funny you said that because everyone chooses to go whichever path they choose to go. We're all trying to get to prom king, captain of the football team, fuck the hottest chicks, fucking do what we do.
Yeah.
But what happens is somewhere along the way, you turn left when you should have turned
right,
and you settle for, all right, dude, I guess I'll be cool amongst the goths, or I'll be like cool amongst the nerds,
and then
or whatever
you realize
it is.
The goths are the same thing. It's the same
thing.
We're
all trying to be. But we're all trying to be the prom king.
There's a hierarchy in every little shitty group. You might as well be in the one where they have big houses.
Well, you could be a shark.
Parties.
You could be among
the
shark
parties. That's the other thing. In high school, you're like, you fucking start going to these parties at like big rich people houses and going, oh, this is that high school experience that I watched movies about. I want to be that as opposed to like somebody who...
I was terrified of getting invited to parties. I hated that idea. I like to get fucked up with my small group of friends, you know, in the woods and not have to... Like anytime somebody was like, oh, there's this party we're going to, I'd be like, you know, sweating.
Okay, we can't rape a four-year-old child at a party.
Right? Yeah, I'm trying to live forever by sucking the life force out of a baby's penis. I don't want to just, you know...
Show a party to a kickstand.
You blow off a Ferrari, that's for poor people.
But being closeted was a big part.
You ever cut a Malaysian kid's head off and fuck the
you've
neck
never
hole?
Never felt like you've had any type of wealth.
I'm on that Epstein level. Because
I think the people were like, we know you're gay, but as long as you're not like people like they were like they knew, but they didn't know.
Yeah, you were Long Island in the 90s.
Yeah,
2000s.
2002, 2003. They knew, but they were like, we don't know. Because then there were the theater kids who were just like. But I wouldn't want to hang out with the theater kids now.
No.
That's the problem. Like, as an openly gay dude, I wouldn't go and hang out with theater kids
now.
That
was the funny part. Like, people who can sing, this is why it's, like, incredible. When you see, like, a Britney Spears or, like, a fucking, you know, whoever, I don't know who the fucking famous singers are now.
You just named the worst singer.
Yeah, Britney, you know, Britney Spears.
The worst singer
Christina
ever.
Aguilera.
Yeah.
All these popular singers out today.
Yeah, you know, if you could sing, like, you know, Britney Spears or Kathy Lee Gifford. Someone that has a real talent.
Dido. All of our favorite singers.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
America's favorite. Enya. The singers that everyone in America loves. Harry Connick Jr.
What is your point, though? It's very interesting.
The point that I'm making is that it's very, to find like a hot one,
yeah,
it's like pretty incredible, because you know all the people who had talent, like in musical theater, and like, because I was in musical theater in high yeah. school, all the people who had talent were like these fucking semi-fat chicks.
Yes.
That were like,
because they had the diaphragm.
Yeah, dude. And they yeah. could sing, and they could do all
they're
the tap
with air.
But it was never a hot chick.
Now they dictate blogs to Siri.
No, like a hot
of...
chick. Listen, there was a hot chick who was the lead.
Oh, she was, but she got everything.
And she would go like this. The hot chick, there was a hot chick who was the lead, and she opened her mouth to sing. You would hear this. She would go, "There is a castle on a cloud." And
you're
everybody was about, like, all right, I guess.
You're talking about like closeted kids or whatever. Yeah. It was so funny. Like when I was in like middle school, yeah. they would bring, like they would bring everyone into the gymnasium
yeah.
and they'd put us in the stands, and they would bring out like people who came from like some kind of summer program or extracurricular thing for like, sometimes it'd be like swing dancing. and you know, they would give us a demonstration. It would be these two fucking losers doing swing dancing or whatever. And then, you know, everyone's like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And then you would look over and like the clearly gay kid would be at the edge of his seat. You know, like, already like, you know, it's just everything filled out except for his parents, you know,
yeah.
signature or whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think I was like, one reason I wasn't that kind of gay kid is I was an actor's little kid. So I knew that all these people were losers.
Yeah.
So every time an assembly would come in, I'd be like, oh, they're fat. Like, they're, when you're a kid, you don't know anything about the world
oh,
and the way
it
works.
Cool.
Yeah, I always knew they were losers.
I thought
I'm
the
like,
guy, the guys
I'm
who
like,
taught
dude,
us,
losers.
The guys who taught us yeah. like circus tricks.
Yeah,
I was like, these guys are fucking
yeah,
awesome.
But, yeah,
Nick, no, more into the microphone, Nick. Yeah. You could just really, get, I want to hear your brain matter come out of your
look,
nose.
They, people need to feel like they're here hanging out.
They
with
need
me.
To feel like they're in the
I
room.
I respond
with us.
To every fucking Instagram message.
Yes, I
shake every goddamn hand. I get to know people who are yeah. my fans. So
they're
yeah,
hear you.
You're
your
gonna
nose.
Fucking. You are going to get hepatitis C from me if we hang out.
But you're right about that. I did
yeah.
think everybody that came into those
was
assemblies.
Cool.
I mean, super cool. Everyone in high school. I thought. I remember going to. There was a planetarium in my high school.
Yeah.
Which is very strange that we had an actual planetarium.
It's very strange.
In my high school.
And what's even stranger is it wasn't a planetarium. It was a room where you would get raped
yeah.
and just look at pictures.
Yeah,
of
the lights didn't turn on there.
Yeah.
You go in there and sort of black out and see stars.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
It was a Spencer's gift.
Wake up with
yeah.
a lump
yeah.
on
I just
head.
Saw the glowing stars on the ceiling.
Yeah, the shop teacher had this dark photography room. It was actually a planetarium. And you had to be naked in it because if you had your clothes on, the
Dude,
light would refract.
Look up North Rockland High School Planetarium. Pull it up on the big screen. It was huge when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember going in elementary school and all of the high school kids, they
I
were...
love if Shannon looks that up and an article just comes out and it goes, kids report multiple rapes at North Rockland High School.
In the planetarium.
In the planetarium.
Dude, we have a planetarium. Look at this shit, doggy. This was... And we went there. This was... I had a science class. I had a fucking earth science
That's
class
cool.
in the planetarium
yeah.
in ninth grade. But we went there as kids, and I remember everyone looked like adults. Everyone was super cool. They let kids smoke on the premises when I was in elementary school, and I went to the high school to visit the planetarium. So this is like, you know,
planetarium
1990.
Suck, anyway. Can we just
I like
that?
Astronaut ice cream. It's fun to chew.
It was pretty yeah. cool, dude. When you were a kid.
There's too much to look at. I remember the first time I went to see an IMAX movie, I was like, so disappointed.
Yeah, it's,
yeah.
So,
it's so much.
It's
too
much.
What the
much
fuck
screen?
Is that? Yeah.
It's just a. It's like a bolt. It's like an asteroid flying at the left side
yeah,
of your
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
yeah.
I went to see the Beavers movie. Remember that?
Oh,
like,
yes. Dude, that
yeah,
was
yeah.
also my first IMAX
that's
movie.
That's
yeah,
old
yeah.
school. Yeah.
That was like 97 or something.
Was that the first IMAX movie?
I think so.
They put an IMAX theater in the Palisades Center Mall. And I remember...
There was that movie, and then there was another... It was another like fish.
The penguin one.
Something about fish.
It was the penguin movie.
Was, yeah, that was like early on too.
Beavers. Yes, dude. I saw Beavers alone in IMAX in the Palisades Center Mall. Yeah, dude. What, 96, 97 it
Something
came
like
out?
That, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. I forgot that that even existed. Please stop blowing your nose
He's
into
sick.
The extraordinarily sensitive microphones.
He's sick.
I'm sick of your bullshit criticizing the Beavers IMAX movie, which I was also doing.
Pull up the trailer for the Beavers IMAX movie, Shannon.
It would be great if it was just like so offensive now. We looked back. We're like, God,
just pussies.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
It's Bobby Lee being like, oh, me have to go to bathroom.
Yeah.
Me have to go bathroom, but Brackman is in there. Like, man, the 90s were great.
Yeah, it's like, man, that was interesting.
We ain't going to build a dam. We going to build a goddamn.
Don't be a faggot. Go
yeah,
see the Beaver movie.
Yeah, the Beaver movie was fucking... There's all these rape jokes in the Beaver movie. And this was it. You were in an IMAX, and you just
yes.
watched...
You gotta be honest. This is not selling me.
You followed a beaver up his asshole.
Yeah, this is...
and you watched a day in the life of a fucking beaver. And it was, the truth was, they just had the cameras and they were like, we got to do something. Because it was, this is, there's nothing interesting about this fucking beaver's life. Look at this.
Well, they built dams.
Especially now because you can buy for $100, you can buy a camera that can film this movie.
You know? I don't know. They're very adorable animals.
They're cute.
Yeah. I enjoyed, I remember like thoroughly enjoying just watching the beavers and wanting to pet them. But the experience itself was like, it's too much.
So your argument with me is that it's a great movie because you wanted to pet the beavers.
Yeah.
The biggest damn movie.
I mean, that's what they.
Oh, shit, dude. Did you hear it?
Yeah. To this theater.
You know Warren Holstein wrote that line in 96? The best damn movie you'll ever see.
You know there was a debate about it, and one guy was just like, we're going to say the best damn movie. And the guy's like, all right.
How about edgy. My pitch was this. I know we're settled on the damn line, but how about if you don't see this movie, you're a faggot?
And the people in the room were like, I like it.
Yeah.
I think it is potentially a little off-putting.
They're like, Beavers. They're like, Mike, it's, you know we took Bobby Lee out of the movie, right? Like,
Beavers.
Oh, we're not there. Okay, all right.
It's not for niggers.
Zach's not even here.
What?
Yeah. That would have been Zach's line.
Yeah, it's true.
Zach would have been silent for the last hour and a half.
At a horror convention? Like,
Zach went to go visit his family for Christmas.
So he's at a horror convention. Yeah. Thank you. I was right. He's at the original trauma, his home.
What did you guys do for Christmas?
I just feel like he's sitting there with blood, like eating blood capsules and bleeding.
Oh, you're like, what did you do for Christmas? You know we were both like at the stand not doing anything.
I went to my...
For yesterday, but during the day. We were there last night at 10:50 at night.
I went to my father's home. Day,
baby. Hold on. And
spots.
And I also did stuff for Christmas. Oh, so the point that you're making holds no water.
Then I feel bad.
Yeah.
What did you do? We did the same thing. Went to family. About an hour out of the city.
We grew up the same, Tim.
Very similar.
Except when you turned left and turned gay, I turned right. I was like, I'm going to be fucking...
And became Puerto
Rican. Became friends with Gavin McInnes.
No, me and Gavin don't like each other anymore.
Yeah, I don't think anyone likes Gavin anymore.
Here's the thing about Gavin. He's likable in person, but then the things he does the things are not like...
Literally everybody. I guarantee you.
I know.
Fucking Joseph Mengele here.
No, but there's some...
Like, you know, I went to the new Caribou over on... It's very nice. And you're like, I do like Caribou coffee.
No, really. Because when you're not discussing politics or like any cultural issues, like, dude, we're just eating pizza together.
Cool dude.
It's not a problem. Yeah. Most of us can coexist. Yeah. That's why social media is so dangerous and we need to get rid of Facebook. Yeah. It's because not everybody should be able to give their opinions to everybody that easily.
Yes, but it's also why regular socializing is also dangerous, because this is somebody that has bad opinions and promotes like xenophobia and all this shit, and it's like, you shouldn't be in a position where you're susceptible to, like, well, they were kind of charming, and I made the point on the show before, and I'll say it like again, which is, but it doesn't matter, but like, it's like when, you know, somebody is like, wow, that cop was like really cool. It's like, no, they were just not an asshole to you. You were expecting them to be a shitty person.
No, that's not true. Because there's cops
I've met people in this business that I think are pieces of shit where I would probably agree with a lot of
I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have. Yeah. But like,
Gavin's actually, and I will say this, and I mean, Gavin's opinions I don't agree with on some things, his behavior is abhorrent. It's bad. But in terms of people that I could sit and have a conversation with, I hate to say it, like, and Lewis will probably agree with me, he's, you know, he's probably better than most.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
That's my only point.
Can I tell you the problem? I won't spend my time shitting on a guy who's not here. But you don't really know what you're getting with Gavin. It's not real. It's very phony.
Yeah,
it's kind of
true.
A Kill Scene-esque type thing where you go, he's always angling to whatever, get ahead in whatever it is. So I don't even know what his fucking real opinions are on anything. He's a Christian one day. He's a fucking, you know, punk rock fucking, you know, you know, anarchist the next day. I don't believe anything he says or does, and the truth is, on a personal level, the same kind of way you feel about Kill Scene, which is you go like, I'm not gonna be friends with a person you can't get a true gauge on. I don't really, can't put my finger on it, so fuck him. I don't really care.
Yeah.
He also was just kind of a dick in I talked about it on another show. He was just kind of a dick.
Did he recover
about the
from the stroke that he had that prevented him from going to Legion of Skanks?
No.
Remember that text? He's
Jamie.
Yeah, he's like, I just see light.
I have spinal meningitis. I'm sorry.
He's like, I can't feel any of my extremities. Yeah. So
I finally got sepsis from eating my own shit. I can't make it.
Took years.
Yeah.
What did you? So you grew up on Long Island, Tammy?
I grew up in Long Island, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just went back there.
Who is it? Who's alive in your family? Is it a big
mother
family?
And father? I mean, my mom's in a mental institution, so I visited her too later in the day, and they have a.
Is that fun on Christmas?
It's not bad.
I figure they sing Christmas carols all year long.
Well, you just see where all these open mic guys that you know are going to end up eventually. Yeah, you know,
and it's also nice they put all the patients in Joker makeup.
Yeah. Well, they have fun with them. They have what they call Christmas relays, where they just like you bet on like you have Christmas relay race. So, yeah. But no, I just hung out with my dad's family.
They all drive each other even more mad and chase each other.
And
around.
My dad's family's like, there's some fun people. There's some people that are addicted to heroin. There's some autistic people because we're Irish. We
is
never
it garbage?
Talk about
does the family? Because here's my girlfriend told me
an
that
obese,
her family was garbage.
An obese
Listen.
Homosexual is the leader. That's how bad.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm doing the best.
My girlfriend told me her family was garbage, and then I went to visit them, and I thought they were garbage like my family.
No, we have money.
Like,
here's the thing. There's money. There's not.
Yeah,
you're not garbage. There's money. We have money.
When you're poor and garbage,
no,
it's
horrible.
A whole other level.
No,
dude.
We have, like, good food, but, like, the person next to you is, like, clearly on Suboxone and asleep, and they're like... It's like bad. And one
which
kid's
is,
like autistic
to,
doesn't make
yeah,
eye contact.
To be honest with you, is the way we should all be able to live our lives.
Yeah.
In a perfect communist economy, everyone's on Suboxone all the time.
And drooling.
Because we live in a post-heroin world.
We're all like St. Bernards, just sitting there drooling.
We've got a little barrel full of, you know,
whatever
piss.
We need.
We figured out a way to put nutrients in piss. Yeah. So we just drink, you know, piss.
It was
methadone all
day. You know,
it's long.
It's like fine. Once you when you don't have kids, Christmas is just pointless. Just a bunch of people sitting.
Get together and eat for no reason.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
We had shitty dinner. The one thing you're supposed to do on Christmas is have good food.
Have a nice dinner.
My sister cooked this year.
What'd she make?
Spaghetti.
No, that's
I swear to spaghetti dog.
No,
the
that's
same thing.
Real,
the that, same thing.
Dude, that's
not big ziti. Not lasagna.
That's almost where you walk out.
Dude, this bitch
almost where you
boiled
walk
water
out.
And threw noodles into a pan.
You almost that's where you leave. That's
I didn't
almost
do,
what you
I
leave.
Didn't do. I didn't do Christmas. I was like, I was so fucked up from Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's like I'm getting older or whatever, but like I'm kind of like an all or nothing kind of person.
Yeah.
It's like I guess it's like an addictive personality, but like I don't you know like I maintain a pretty strict diet, lean gains.
Yeah,
so
bro.
I'm like not gonna like I don't eat dessert ever. But if I do. If I like break the seal, then I'm gonna fucking eat all of the goddamn dessert, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, I fucking. Except I break the seal a lot more often than you.
What do you guys have for dessert?
Well,
spaghetti.
Like,
No, what do you think? What do you think a garbage person would choose for dessert? There's two things that garbage people choose for dessert. What do you think they chose?
Cheesecake, Joe.
Boom, done.
Cheesecake. Yeah.
They're garbage.
Easy. It's the easiest.
They're garbage, dude. They're fucking garbage. Cheesecake
so garbage.
Factory.
Yeah.
They got the whole fucking thing with all the different kinds.
Oh, that's the most. That's
the most
garbage.
Garbage you've all. But we got a variety.
Yeah, because you're
the
all
cheese, what
different
is the
kinds
cheesecake
of animals.
Factory trying to do. I've been there like twice in my life, and
the
it's
decor
like,
is like.
We got steak. We got fucking General Tso's chicken.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just be one restaurant.
And the
restaurant.
Walls are genuine 24-karat gold.
The Cheesecake Factory.
You spend like 6 hours deciding where to eat, and then you go to the Cheesecake Factory and have to spend another 6 hours deciding where to eat.
Yeah, well, the Cheesecake Factory is basically aimed at this group of people. It's like, hey, are you at a mall, but better than everyone else?
Yeah.
You know what
Do
I mean?
Do you think
like,
that you are a king?
Yeah. Are you judging the people at Johnny Rockets?
Yeah.
Come on in a cheese.
It's also like they didn't get their own marketing. Like, it's named the Cheesecake Factory, so you're imagining a factory.
And
you show up, and it's got golden walls with steak.
It should,
and
the waiter should be like a union guy that comes yells at you. You know, yeah, I've been working on cheesecake my whole fucking life, you stupid piece of shit. I lost my fucking hand in the tin maker.
Yeah. My son's got cancer. Anyway, you want, what do you want? The Reese's
Cheesecake. You know, I hire so many fucking Poles here. They started doing, I thought it was bad, and the fucking riots happened. Now it's nothing but blacks.
Cheesecake Factory used to be all Asians working for $2 an hour.
Yeah.
Your order, please. Yeah. Please hold on. I lost my hand in the tin maker.
They've got genetic defects because they don't give a fuck about the carcinogens.
These jobs come by and fuck my only daughter. That's why we had to kill her. It's not because of the quota. It's because Steve Jobs fucked her. Now she had cancer.
Steve Jobs fucked his own.
You just look at the guy, you're like, all right, I'll have the vanilla bean. I'll have the vanilla bean cheese.
Raspberry chocolate.
Oh, Michael Johnson!
That's the thing about fat people. There's nothing you could say to us that would like get us off, you know? You'd be like, well, that's great, you know? Yeah. I'm going to kill my daughter. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the biscuits and gravy.
Cheesecake or garbage people choose red
garbage,
velvet cake.
Yeah, those are trash.
Red velvet cake.
Trash There's only a few desserts that aren't trashy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. There's a lot of desserts. Well, anything served in a tin.
What fucked me up is I had salted caramel, which I'd never had before.
Yeah.
Which is just caramel with salt in it.
It's like, wait, you mean just you had a piece of salted caramel?
Yeah, it's wedged in between some kind of breaded thing.
Yeah.
And okay. I'd never had it before. And so I was eating them like they were like cookies. So yeah. I had like 9 squares of salted
Mick's teeth are falling out of his head.
Yeah. And it's just it's like just sugar. Yeah. I probably ate like 30,000 calories worth of sugar. And then my like back went numb.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to like lay down. And it like fucked me up.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Every time I do like a cheat, I do like I'm going through a whole like thing right now. I'm eating like an animal. I think it's over today. I haven't eaten bad yet today.
Yeah.
But what happens is afterwards, my body feels like I'm coming down from ecstasy.
Yeah.
Like
because it's like the sugar is like it's like a legit drug.
I'm sure there's like there's science behind it.
But it's also you get older and then you just you hurt get older, all
dude.
The time.
I used to be able to eat like
I think it's also because we're eating. I think you're training your body to almost become like allergic to the things you're putting into it hurts you.
Yeah, you know what's funny is like I got a buddy that's like literally smokes crack. He's like a crack guy. And he's like,
a crack guy.
Yeah,
He's not a crack head. You know, that
right,
makes him seem like
enthusiast.
He's like a dude who will do it if it's around.
Crackhead makes him seem like more of like an intellectual.
He doesn't buy his own crack, but if you pull out crack, he's doing it.
Actually, I think he buys his own
it's
crack.
It's not Aaron Sorkin crack.
If you're buying your own crack more than once a week, you're a crackhead.
Well, the thing that's funny about him is that like
he's a crackhead. That's hilarious.
Well, I saw him a couple weeks ago or like maybe a couple months ago, and it's his 40th birthday.
Yeah. Jesus, good for him.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm trying to go to the gym and, you know, get my shit together or whatever. But he's been like that the entire time I've known him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I think if he were to stop living that way, that would kill him.
Yeah.
Because he looks the same as he's ever looked.
Like a machinist.
Yeah, kind of. He's just sort of this like bloated, dumpy guy that bartends all night and then does too much cocaine and then smokes crack eventually.
Sometimes your body, like I used to be able to eat, I would eat like a pint of ice cream and then probably a month and a half ago, I started feeling sick. And I don't know if I'm lactose intolerant or if it's my body just going, you can't eat ice.
It's like, probably the first time you're in your life that you started not allowing sugar to be an ice cream and the dairy to be a part of your everyday consumption. So now that you're putting it back into your body, I think you're making your. Is there anything to that, Shannon? Look that up. Can you make yourself either lactose intolerant?
I wonder if it's psychosomatic because I start having panic attacks.
My stomach right now hurts because I've been eating bad. It hurts. There's a fucking. Yeah. It feels like there's a brick in my stomach.
When I eat fish, I feel great. When I eat dairy, I feel like shit.
Well, most of the population is lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Most people don't have like the enzyme to digest, you know, cow or whatever.
I think it's only
Scandinavians or people from Northern Europe that can drink
because they're the perfect white people.
They kind of are. They're also most of them resistant to HIV
and they're gorgeous.
Yeah,
and they all look.
Why is it that Jews aren't able to mix milk and meat? You know, is there a
reason?
It's
too expensive.
You
have one or the other.
Hello?
You have to have two different kinds of food.
Come on.
What are we going to do?
What is this?
Is it your birthday?
I'm what Dr. Shmuel Grossman.
What is this?
And I'll tell you.
Our knockoff of Kwanzaa Hanukkah?
Here's
the
what's
thing
not kosher.
Off.
You're going to have meat and you're going to have milk?
I like that part of that article. Lobster. Here's what is kosher. Bread.
Yeah.
You can eat bread. It's $1.
Yeah.
Bagels. They're $1. What are you going to get a lobster for?
Shit.
There's all these weird rules. Halal food, which is Middle Eastern Jewish, they're very similar.
I used to
no shellfish, no bottom feeders, no meat and dairy mixed.
Yeah.
It's all about purity, cleanliness. A lot of it is about discipline. The more I understand those food things, Jewish people do very well in the world, I think, because one of the reasons is if there's a discipline from when you're young where it's like, no, this is the way it's done. You can't have everything. You can't do everything. You have to follow. There's a certain amount of regimentation, and I think that's what religions are. They're structures.
We talked about that earlier today. Just kind of about being throughout these formative years
there's
and going
discipline.
Into just the. It's if the discipline is built into you. Like my kid just drinks water every time he drinks water. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's just built into. It's not weird. Like for me to drink a glass of water, it's a lot.
Really, I love water.
I drink water all the time.
I drink water all the time. What would you rather drink?
Anything. Piss. Cum.
Really?
Shit.
There was this. I used to do. There was a comedy at this place, EJ's Landing in College Park, Maryland, and then they would also have karaoke, and I would go there with my friend to the karaoke afterwards. Mm. And the collection of fucking losers that hung out at that like pirate themed, you know, bar that well, it doesn't matter. I'm giving way too much exposition here, but there was this one guy who was like always wearing wrestling shirts, stringy, shitty, long black hair, you know, like one of those 90s goatees, who lived on the couch of his like friend's mom. They both lived with the mom. And they were all cool with the bar manager. And so the bar manager would let them use the soda gun in the back or whatever. So my friend is like filling up his cup with water. And that like, you know, like the loser wrestling guy comes over. He's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, I'm getting water. And he's like, "Why don't you get soda?" He's like, I just want water. I don't want a soda. Yeah. And the guy goes, "Dude, I haven't had a drop of water in 5 years."
I just love like, that. That's something. That's
he's just fucking, just living off soda.
That's
and
what's
it's
amazing.
Clear that he's doing
that's what's
that.
Amazing about it. Like this, the world that we're in is like gaming the system could be like Goldman Sachs installing treasury secretaries to just like take these massive bailouts, billions of dollars, or a guy being like, "Hey, no one's looking. Take soda." Yeah. Like that's the range of game. Like it's the same impulse, but like that's how it plays out.
But it's
out.
Also, I got to be honest with you. It's like that action of like, yes, you're right. I think that if that's your game, just go aim higher every time.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're still just stealing. So why not steal a watch?
That's why there's
soda.
This great movie called The Florida Project about poor people just stealing food in Florida, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Go see it. Anyway, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Also watch Vernon, Florida, the Errol Morris documentary. I've recommended that several times this week. A classic.
So, Nick, you did nothing for Christmas. You have no family, nothing?
No, I have family.
They're
I didn't.
Far
we
away.
Did. Yeah. I saw my dad and his wife and my stepsisters briefly on the way back from D.C., but like only for like an hour. And that was like 2 days ago because we did Black Cat on Friday.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think that was it. Yeah, that wasn't actually Christmas. Christmas was yesterday. I was here the whole day.
Yeah, it doesn't, I guess it doesn't really matter as you get older.
You get older, man, it's all about creating your own fit. Families are great when people are young and things are, everybody's full of potential and possibility.
Once it's filled with Suboxone.
Yeah, once it becomes like, because when you're a young family, we were a big family. Like my dad had like 7 brothers and sisters. And everybody's like, "These kids are going to take over the world. This is the next generation." And then, like, all of a sudden, a few years later, people are like, "Where's my wallet? Like, where I had $30 in this pocket. Like, you know, what's going on?" And it's like, why doesn't my son look at me in the eyes? It's like, oh, this is over. Like, we got to go. Like,
well, now you can
eat and leave.
Now that we have social media, you can get in touch with people. Before, you can only go as far as you can go.
Yeah.
You know, you can only meet so many people. You can only have so many fucking phone numbers in your Rolodex, right? And now, you almost can choose.
Yeah, you're literally incapable of remembering a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
You have a fixed number. It's something like 200 something. I think it's called the Dunbar limit.
Yeah. Right.
And you can't store people as like.
But now we have the ability to store people as discrete objects online and through Facebook and social media.
You know, it's so funny.
Now you can choose your fucking circle. I can have somebody that truly affects my life that lives across the world. They could be in my life and we could be communicating with each other and working together or whatever it is. So now why is it that like. My sister's going to listen to this, but no offense to her, but why would I choose her?
Yeah.
No offense, you spaghetti making bitch, but why?
Ralph Sutton.
Why would I choose
who
you?
Who wouldn't make spaghetti?
Who? Anyone? Why would they choose their family over Ralph Sutton?
Ralph Sutton's the man.
Here's the thing: you
hang out with Ralph Sutton.
I went to my family thing, and like one of my cousins, like he went, like he went with his girlfriend to Wahlburgers, like the mark. And I'm like, I can't even. He was excited to go to Wahlburgers because they saw
Wahlburgers?
It's Mark Wahlberg's burger restaurant that he saw on a reality show. He's like, we went to what? And there's an Instagram photo like him at Wahlberg. And I'm like, this is a different thing.
It's like, you know, like Jimmy John's has like, "We have fun here" on the walls.
Yeah.
Wahlburgers has like, "No gooks allowed." Just kidding.
It's just a picture of those Asian people that he just beat the shit out of.
Yeah.
You're on the same way.
Did you have meatballs or just spaghetti?
We have meatballs.
Okay.
She made like 3 sausages.
No, this is not right.
Like fighting over the sausage. And then she didn't have any sides. She made fucking a Caprese salad, which is fine.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It's cheese and fucking tomato.
Yeah, you can't really serve tomatoes. I mean, did she order?
But that's classy.
Did she order hot house tomatoes from Belgium? Like,
doggy. She served.
That's classy. We're going to have Caprese salad.
That's as fucking classy as she's ever been in her entire life. She thought she was really, she's like, "Guys, I got the, and then she did stuffed artichokes, which.
Okay, hey.
Doggy, that's not filling.
I know, but that's
what was that picture
ambitious.
You showed me?
What?
I don't know if you want to discuss that.
No,
or
I'll
not.
Discuss it.
But that guy, it's like, here's our Christmas dinner, and it's a bunch of Country Time lemonade
yeah,
and
well,
fucking
one of my
solo
friends,
cups.
One of my friends, he's like one of my best friends, but he like he's doing really well, and he like lives at the top of a big apartment in Midtown, and he's like killing it, and he's like fucking fucks all these chicks. Does like he goes to like high stakes poker games. He's like one of these guys, but he comes from like a very plain, nice group people, but plain family like Connecticut, where they literally like his dad got a free turkey at work, so they're just like, we're gonna have turkey.
Yeah.
Your dad got a free turkey. Yeah, we're gonna have turkey.
So, I mean, that's my family. You're naming like, my family.
And there's like Country Time lemonade. There's like a Christmas, like a Christmas tablecloth with like snowmen on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man! It's yeah. like, oh, this is.
It's the people who their cranberry sauce. They get it from a can.
Like
they slice it.
His brother's
and they
girlfriend.
Go, there's cranberry sauce.
They go out to like a barbecue restaurant. His brother's girlfriend is like 25 or 26. Like or I forget how old she is, but she's older than that. She orders chicken fingers. Like that's there. Yeah. That's the move.
You're
they
naming,
go on
you're
like,
naming yeah. first of all, you're naming most people in the world, right?
Okay.
But you're also naming my family. We,
well, I'm not
like
happy
growing about. Up, going to Red Lobster was like a big fucking deal.
Yeah, but Red
deal.
Lobster's good.
That's a nice
yeah.
restaurant for my family. That was as nice as it ever got.
Well,
ever.
That's not sad.
Ever.
Yeah.
I'm talking about fucking ever, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I don't think we ever went to one nice restaurant growing up as a kid.
Right.
My mom cooked like once a week, and it would be like macaroni and cheese, Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, or
like,
heroin.
Or, well, she cooked heroin every day.
So that was, you know.
Yeah, so that type of family, that's what I grew up in. And then I go in there and I'm like, what are we doing? We're spending $200 on Christmas dinner to cook for the 8 people or 7 people that are there. We're spending $200 overall to get all the food and everything together, right? Why don't we just take that $200 and go to an okay restaurant, you know,
yeah.
and just go fucking eat somewhere else? What are you doing? Spaghetti?
Yeah.
Fucking spaghetti.
Yeah,
and then
I
gotta sit
right.
there and you gotta act like you're appreciative.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to send her this podcast. She has to know.
I mean, here's the reality. It's spaghetti is a fuck you. It's saying
spaghetti's,
fuck you.
Dude,
it's saying fuck you to your guests.
Big Ziti is saying fuck you.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, any Italian, to be honest with you, with the exception of like fucking 8-layer lasagna.
That's it.
Like,
that's the only acceptable Italian food to serve is a feast of 7 fishes or 8-layer lasagna. Other than that, do a fucking roast.
You're boiling fucking noodles.
I just had a flashback to going to my friend like David's house for, it was some holiday. It was like Thanksgiving or something. His mom made, I guess he made, but it was the first time I ever had pastaroni.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And then that became my favorite food for a while.
Yeah, Nick, you look, you're garbage.
I'm not garbage. It's very good. Have you had pasta?
I'm assuming that's what like
I think you just,
Hamburger Helper's based off of.
No, they're similar.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. There's nothing wrong with eating it in a dorm room, but it's not a Christmas.
Look, whatever.
Right?
I grew up on that. Show. I grew up on TV dinners. I'm with you, dog. I don't mind. Like my taste buds are
yeah.
acclimated.
Don't get me wrong. I judged him and his family accordingly.
But now
that
I'll
tell you what, Taco Bell.
Now, now that you have the internet at your fingertips, you don't. You're lazy.
It's laziness.
I got my aunt an Amazon gift card for Christmas. She's 82 years old. She's never been on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So most people are going.
I didn't put any thought into what I got my aunt for.
No, I did put thought. I'm going to tell you why, okay?
It's a gift card that only works for Gas Digital. You can subscribe. That's
I got
it.
Her a 2-year membership for Gas Digital.
Yeah.
She's never been on the internet. She's 82 years old. She can barely walk. Yesterday, the dog shit on the carpet. I'm watching the dog like shit on the carpet and then rub its shitty asshole all over her furniture. And my 80-year-old aunt's trying to fucking chase it. And I'm not helping her because she's got to learn.
Yeah,
okay?
I agree.
They both got to learn, the dog and my aunt, okay?
Yeah.
So this woman's never been on the internet. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get her an Amazon gift card because she's going to have to learn how to fucking use this. She's going to have to get on the internet. Before she dies, she should learn how to order something. She wants a fucking ironing board or
yeah.
whatever the fuck old people want. Get online, get on the internet, and figure it out. And I give her the best gift in the world. It's not just a $50 Amazon gift card. I give her the gift of the fucking internet, which is invaluable.
Yeah.
If somebody said, Shannon, how much does the internet cost? How much is it worth?
Invaluable.
Google how much the internet's worth. Because that's what I gave my aunt for Christmas.
And that's a good... That's a
it's
good
true.
Gift.
It's true. And now here's the thing, especially for an old person. My aunt's not like a person who goes fucking perusing the aisles of Target and like, hey,
yeah,
let's see what happens.
No.
$19 trillion.
What does it say? Read me the whole thing.
How much is the internet of everything worth? Cisco says $19 trillion. The internet of everything will have 5 to 10 times the impact on society as internet itself.
What's the internet of everything?
I don't know.
knows?
That's a different
thing. That means maybe when everything is...
Some fucking Elon Musk fucking... Well,
yeah, the internet of everything is like when we just... There's no brick and mortar stores. Like, everything is literally online. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'll tell you this.
I don't like shopping on the internet because I am not inspired easily. Like, I'm sitting around thinking, like, what do I get my aunt? What do I get my aunt? $50 gift card. Boom, right? Yeah. I needed to walk through the aisles to see...
I think at the end of the day, we're heading to a world where, like, you know, why am I buying anything for you? I'll just give you money. I don't want to buy anything for anyone anymore. Because
well, it's a thought, Tim. The idea is you're supposed to listen to what your girlfriend or other significant other mom says I like.
I know, but that's
one.
You're
supposed to let them know that you're thinking not only just about handing them something, but you want to. Like, I fucked up and I got my niece a, she's 2.5. I got her a pad, like an Amazon pad.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know. So she opened it up and she's like, what is this? It's a
right,
box.
Right. I see what you mean. And you know? I get that with
There's no
one.
Thought.
I get that with one relationship or two. Like, you know, very, if you're very close to somebody. But even the people that I'm from, like, I just think we're it's like, I don't know what you need.
What would you rather? Think introspectively.
Yeah.
Would you rather somebody hand you money or would you rather think really on the holiday, yeah, right? Yeah. You're all sitting around opening gifts.
Yeah.
What would make you feel better? Somebody hands you $50.
I love money.
I love money too. But realistically, think about this. Be realistic about this. Or somebody, you mentioned something in passing that somebody says, and then they get it for you, and then you realize that they were listening to you.
That is a nice thing.
It's nice.
That is a nice.
You know,
thing.
You feel like that was really very thoughtful.
That is a nice.
And
thing.
We're not thoughtful people. That's why the problem is that we're not thoughtful, and we try to justify our unthoughtfulness.
You're right.
And go, but it's better to give money. But the reality is.
I agree with you, but I always look at those situations and I'm like, I don't know what you need, I don't know what you want, and I'm not listening when you talk.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's a you problem.
That's
Do you
a
rather
big problem.
Money or would you rather somebody actually get you something for a holiday? Because the money, it money.
I have money.
You have money, exactly. So it kind of makes you feel good for somebody to fucking.
Yeah, like I saw my stepmom. I went by there and I dropped off gifts to them, and then she's like. I want to like give you some, you know. She gets her checkbook out and it's like, you don't have to fucking give me any money. It's like,
first of all, write you a check.
Well, she's like, yeah, and she's like, I went. It's like, also, first of all, I know what you're doing is you didn't get me shit, and now you feel bad because I brought you stuff, and like you're gonna performatively get your checkbook.
You should
out.
Look at her and be like,
it's like no card.
Give me a blank check. You really love and trust me?
Well, it's like I have way more money than you do. Yeah. I don't need, you know, your fucking money.
That's what Nick said to her. He goes, listen.
No, that's literally what
Merry
I said
Christmas.
To her.
I have more money than you.
Yeah, you could have done something.
That's
you
what
got
I,
me
that's,
a card,
hey,
bitch.
You, that's what you I said pig. To her. I was like, if you want to get a card and write something in, you can do that. But
Nick,
I mean,
like, hands her the check back. He's like, save it for the operation you'll need.
Yeah, I got nothing either. My family got me, out of everybody, collectively,
yeah,
got me a T-shirt.
My family got me some cool shit, nice stuff, but money, again. You know?
Nothing. Not even money. Didn't even do the fucking, let me get my checkbook out and write you a check, or let me get $25 out and pull a... Because old people, my aunt's 82, you know she's got fucking Christmas cards in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah.
Just ready to go. Okay? Nothing. Didn't even care that much.
What did you get her? A fucking...
$50 gift card for Amazon. Okay. And then my son's mother made him, you know, handmade them ornaments with my son, and they fucking got him some picture frames.
Yeah,
and...
but those ornaments are never good. But no, they, I guess good. Old people like
them. You use fucking cookie cutters, dog.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty good.
That's all right.
Not bad.
James made you this... You just give that to the security guard in your lobby?
Yeah.
My son made you this ornament.
Yeah, my son's
just a
mother,
pack of Newports.
Got my son's
like,
mother...
Like, this is an ornament my son made you.
$125 day at the spa. She got me a fucking picture frame.
The gifts I would get from my dad's parents were always... so funny. It was like, I got it one time a desk calculator from the Taj Mahal Casino in Atlantic City, which I'm pretty sure my grandfather just got for free.
Yeah.
For like,
there's no way that cost anything.
Yeah.
There's no world in which that costs.
I always felt really bad about like the older people in my family. Timmy, I know you got it. We'll wrap up in a minute. Fucking like the older people in my family, I always felt very bad when they would give me gifts.
Yeah,
like because I even at like 6 or 7 years old, I would start to understand that these are senile, like old fucking. They don't know any.
Yeah.
So like my great grandma Rose, she got me like a coloring book one year, and I remember I opened up all my gifts. So what a sweet kid I was. I know I'm a piece of shit, but I remember at 7 just being like, I opened up all my gifts. And my grandma Rose, this old fucking decrepit old lady.
Yeah.
She got me a coloring book. She didn't even fucking get it. It was like, you know, they got it from my grandma Rose. But I remember purposely playing with that first in front of her to, like, show her, like, I really appreciated her
really
gifts.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
She used to call me a nigger at the like the fucking dinner table. Mm-hmm. She was such an old
soft
piece of
day,
shit. She's such like a piece of shit. My grandma Rose was
that
awful
was a coloring
me.
Book. It was just it was a Klan coloring book.
Yeah.
It was just literally pictures of people being hanged. Grandma Rose.
Yeah, they were black and white photos of lynchings. Those weren't coloring books.
Yeah, with a red pen saying, "This will be you." Yeah, she wanted me to color it in. It's you know, Grandma Rose.
She's just looking at me going, "You." At
you.
The dinner table.
Yeah, it was just Emmett Till's head circled with your picture superimposed.
Yeah.
That Grandma Rose.
Lewis, we're going to strap you up to a cotton gin fan, throw you in the fucking river. You look at me again. You mind that reckless eyeballing, boy?
Yeah. Now enjoy this coloring book.
She's like a it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and Django Unchained.
Oh, Lord.
You got a dimple on the base of the skull. That's why he fell asleep on his tech deck as a baby. It makes his mind simple.
My grandma. I loved her. God bless her soul. I did not go to her funeral. And I don't feel bad about it because of how racist
well,
and mean
you
she was.
You also weren't allowed in that elk
lodge. Yeah. Gavin McGinnis gave her eulogy. She was a good woman.
Oh, shit.
So I'm drunk off fucking absinthe, and we'd all like to say goodbye.
She's in hell now, and by hell, we mean the Flatbush Applebee's.
So look, this is a fucking fun show, as always. Real quick, I want to say, if you guys are listening to this on iTunes, you should know that we have over 230 episodes available in the archives on demand. HD video, if you guys want the video versions of the show, on demand whenever you want them, plus the other 13 shows on the network, including Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me with Michael Bisping, Dave Smith's Part of the Problem, The Josta Show with Jamie Josta, all these incredible shows on the network. Every episode of every podcast available on demand, $6 a month. Use the promo code RAP at gasdigitalnetwork.com. RAP, it gets you a 14-day free trial. You get to check out all the podcasts, see if you like the service. Plus, you get them 5 days early before they go anywhere else. Ad-free episodes. You guys get the live chat, the message boards, all that shit. So go subscribe at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Nick. I appreciate you guys fucking doing the show with me today. And check out their shows, Tim Dillon's Going to Hell and Come Town, two of the funniest motherfuckers in the business. New Year's Eve show, I guess, is going to be tomorrow. We got High Society Radio in. Chris Stanley and Chris from Brooklyn are both going to be here, so we're going to have a lot of fun with them. Thank you so much for listening. We'll check you next time. Real Ass Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.